Amos.
Well, the first three Prakim were the following. Our Kaddish Baruch Hu promised the nations they were going to die. We went through seven nations altogether. In Perek Beis, we went through Moab, Yehuda, and Yisrael are going to be punished for oppressing the poor. Then he sent Nevi'im, but they were not listened to. And those are the first three Prakim. That was that. Now, Perek Dalet, Hashem is going to do the following, but they're still not going to do tshuva, and that's still going to be referring to the punishment that the kingdom of Ephraim and Yehuda are both going to get separately at separate times, and then they're all going to die. That's going to be the end of it. And then it's going to go into Beis El and Gilgal. Beis El and Gilgal were both cities that were in Bnei Yisrael, I mean, among Malchus Yisrael, and that judgment day, the final day, is going to be really bad, in which God does not want their korbanos whatsoever. So here's what's going to happen over here. So we're going to talk about this. That's in Perek Dalet and Perek Hei. Shimu adavar hazeh paros habashan. Listen to this word, O cows of Bashan. Asher har shomron ha'oshkos dalen. Those that are in the mountains of Shomron that oppress the poor. Ha'rotitzos avyonim that crush the destitute. Ha'omros la'adoneim ha'biyu v'nishteh. Who say to their masters, bring, let us drink. Okay, so here's the idea. The cows of Bashan is not a reference to the boys. The cows of Bashan always refer to the girls. I do not know, although I have some hypotheses, as to the fact that why they call the women cows. That doesn't sound like the most appealing thing, but I guess because they liked bigger women back then, those are the healthier women, so therefore they called them
cows.
Cows
are bulls.
Different, yeah.
Okay, I hear you.
Metaphor like the wives of the men who are the bulls, and I guess the bull is a sign of like...
I guess I hear you. Strength and fertility. I would... Yeah. Virility, you're saying. I would have assumed that you called them sheep, but I guess that was that way.
In India?
Yeah, but nonetheless, that shouldn't have mattered over here.
There are cultures that revere cows.
Yeah, there are cultures that revere goats and sheep. I don't know. That shouldn't matter.
Yeah, but I mean, most of the animal people are familiar with are domesticated animals, and the biggest one is a bull. So.
Yeah, but why? Okay, again, why refer to the woman as the biggest one? That would be my question.
The female version of a cow.
Yeah, I understand, but why a cow, not a goat? Why not a sheep? Why not those? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? And if she has son of Elki, how do you miss Angus or Shemitah's milk cookies or fat? Right, that was the answer that I was trying to give.
If
there were bigger women, and that was the praise, in Shimon Paros arose for Boshan, right, the Shami. I would assume that that's the shot behind it. Not only that, if you see at the very, very end, it seems clear that what they're trying to do is that they say, let us drink. In other words, they want to drink wine and get involved with more promiscuity, involved in all the bigger depravity that's there. You'd assume that's the idea behind it. Nishbasham Lukim Bekacho, may God is sworn by His Holiness, that there are days that are coming upon you, right, you're going to be carried away. Right in Sinos, we're going to have to see what that is exactly. There's four different translations. Your end, right, is going to be in the fishing boats. In other words, out in the middle of the rivers, because you won't be able to be on land. So, what do the word Sinos refer to? Some say that it refers to thorns, and that's what it's referring to, that they're going to be dragged over thorny terrain, and they're going to be hurt as they go through. Others say that they're going to be brought out in small boats, that they're going to be carried away in dinghies, so to speak, on these small boats. Others say it's referring to the cold, that they're going to banish them to cold locations. Halfway up north would be an obvious place to be able to go, right? Stuff like that, especially if these people were living in luxury, indulging in all the good things in life and whatever it was, and all of a sudden they're going to be out in the middle of nowhere. That's obviously going to be something terrible. That's what's happening to them over there. Well, Prutzen, here's one over here. You got him? Okay. By the way, he says, "Upruxim teitzena." So they're going to go out through the breaches. Isha negda. Every woman will go out opposite where she's supposed to go. Vishlachtena harmona niwum Hashem. They're going to be flung into the harmon, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. They're going to lose their pride. They're going to lose all of their things. They're going to be taken out into harmon. It's possible that this is referring to an area where everybody was going to be used for promiscuity. That they were going to be. Listen, you guys want znus, right? So you'll be put into the houses of zonos, and that's where you're going to be used. Pasuk Dalet over here. Bo Beis El. So come to Beis El, will pishu, and they sin. Ha Gilgal, hirbu lichoa. When they go to Gilgal, they sin even more. They bring their sacrifices every morning, and their maestros every third day. In other words, they think like, okay, we'll do what we need to do, but we'll act in an improper way the rest of the day. You wanted me to daven, right? I davened. You wanted me to be in Seder, right? I was in Seder. You wanted me to bring a korban, right? I brought my korban. What, you want me to actually be a good person also? I did. what I'm supposed to do. I don't have to be a good person the rest of the day. I can do whatever I want.
And you're supposed to, then, if you're a good person?
Except for your Bein Adam L'Chavero. Your Bein Adam L'Mako might be exemplary, but that's not what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu is saying, like, I understand you, but you're using this as sort of like idol worship. All I have to do is I have to serve the God, right? And everything else I do in life will be sort of forgiven.
Have you ever done Bein Adam L'Chavero, not done Bein Adam L'Mako, and not gotten, like, massively punished?
I don't know what you're asking.
Like the time of Migdal Bavel, like people got along. There was obviously.
Well, there was Bein Adam L'Chavero, and he had everything.
Bein Adam L'Chavero, and Hashem didn't like.
Seems the first piece of mikvah.
But there was a Bein Adam L'Chavero, but there wasn't Bein Adam L'Chavero.
It depends on how we look at it. There may have been times that were specific. I don't know.
But if you look at all the
times. Does one go with the other? Or can one be independent?
Yes. The answer is yes. The question is when. But yeah.
If you look in, I think I mentioned before, if you look in like all the history of like the times that God destroyed the world, it was always because of Bein Adam L'Chavero.
Mm-hmm. Except for. Except for Migdal Bavel.
He destroyed the world. He killed everybody.
He destroyed
them.
He's talking about destruction. He's talking about
Sodom, Mabel, what else?
That would be compared to Migdal Bavel. Is that when you're talking about destruction of the world?
No, not destruction of a society. Not necessarily the world, the society. The Mabel.
Migdal Bavel is the definition of destruction of society, even though there was no death. I hear what you're saying. I don't think it's comparable because of that.
No, the second base of Midrash, there was a lot of killing. There's 24,000 students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Of Rabbi Kiva, you mean? But there wasn't killing. They died.
Rabbi Kiva, I'm sorry.
By a plague.
Hold on, the Midbar.
Right, that's the plague. It was a plague.
You don't mean killing in that.
I don't mean coming from...
No. I don't think it's a pure Raya, though.
They were Raya, they got along. Hashem wiped them out. He killed four. There was one person dead.
He killed 3,000 people.
Yeah, and 3,000 people were dead from that, right? The Levian that killed. Either way, no, but I hear it. In other words, there are times where it's definitely true where there have been actus between Klal Yisrael, and yet, nonetheless, the people were punished. There definitely have been times like that. I would say Shittim, right? By Shittim, there were tens of thousands of people that died.
You could look at, there's no Nevi'im, we don't know what God's touch point or but like nowadays, I mean, a lot of people are stuck in a regular, people for the most part can get along with one another, you know, in a democratic society, and I'm not, and
I don't think so.
Okay, they were more successful than any other time in human
history. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. I can't judge. I don't know. I wouldn't even say that. Yeah. Plus, okay. It says, Bekater mechamit todo. They bring this incense, so to speak, from a Thanksgiving offering, the kirunei davos, and they end up proclaiming these generous offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashmiu. You can't have them in Yisrael and Hashem Elokim. That's what you love, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're all into this and you try doing this. You think that this is the right thing to do. Listen, I've given you cleanliness, shinayim of all of your teeth, and all of your cities. I think that means that nobody has really bitten each other, so to speak. And I've given you lack of bread in all certain places, and yet you have not turned back to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I've allowed you, cleanliness of teeth is referring to not being able to have meat, because obviously if you have meat, it gets stuck in the teeth, especially back then, right? And I didn't give you bread. In other words, I have given you reason to come back to me and to say to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need some help, I need something to do, and yet you still didn't do anything. I also withheld from you the rain for 3 months before the harvest. I gave rain on one city and I didn't give rain in another city. And another portion of the city that did not get rain immediately dried up. Chazal say that this is clearly a curse, right? I think everybody agrees this was clearly a bad thing. The Gemara in Tainus has a little bit of a kasha from this. Is it a bad thing if one city gets rain and the other city doesn't? Right, and they bring a proof from over here, right, that it must be a bad thing because that was the curse of Amos. The reason why it wouldn't be is because, well, one city could get a lot of rain and they'll be able to help the other city with the rain that they're lacking. So that'll help one city or the other, but they say, no, it must be a curse because one city is getting too much rain and the other city is getting nothing at all. So in fact, things are being ruined in both places or they're not able to share in the proper fashion and therefore it's bad. So that's how the Gemara in Tainus says that it's going to be a bad thing. And then two or three cities will wander, they'll go to the same city to go drink water. They're never going to be satisfied. And the reason why they won't be satisfied is because I guess there won't be enough water, the water will be soiled, or whatever it is, and you're not going to turn back to my edus, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm giving you these signs to be able to come back and not enough. Yisurim. To be able to return to him, yeah. He Casey has come as Shidafon of Yerakon. I've hit you together with Shidafon means a storm that destroyed the crops, and Yerakon is there's Yarkon for a person. It's like jaundice for a person. This is like some type of where the vegetables are all ruined, like mildewy and moldy and stuff like that. Havos Ganosechem Ekarmechem. I have increased all of your gardens and your vineyards, Uteinechem Uzeisechem, your fig trees, your fig orchards, and your olive orchards. Yochol Gazam. The locusts will eat them all. And you still have not turned back to me, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Pasuk Yud. Shiratamakam Devar B'derech Mitzrayim. I sent you a plague on the way down to Mitzrayim. I don't know what that means, on the way down to Mitzrayim. Oh, apparently Bnei Yisrael would dispatch young men and horses as envoys to Egypt, and they would die in the road from the plagues that they met upon the road. Your young men were killed by the sword in Shvi Susechem, along together with the captives' horses that were there. Machanechem. Then it made the stench of your camps, Uba'apkan, in your noses, Lo Shatam Adanyim Hashem, and yet you still didn't turn back to me. Yud'alaf. I've overturned your cities the same way that Sodom and Amorah were overturned. But you, Ur Ud Mutzol Misrefa, and I made you almost like a brand that was completely burned up. I'm sorry? Sodom and Amorah
again.
Sodom and Amorah?
Right, it's just comparing Sodom and Amorah.
No, the destruction is like Sodom and Amorah.
Right, but maybe he's using Sodom and Amorah perhaps specifically because of the issue of Bnei Havera.
That's a stretch.
Maybe, but if you look at the other Nevi'im, what is Hashem telling them?
Like
he's telling them, guys, you know what, just do this one thing. Do tzedakah u'mishpat with one another.
No, it's only said once.
What?
It's only said once.
Fine, it's said once. But it's the other said...
It's banicha.
No, it's sorry. It's correct.
Makos chavkem olam ve'ez.
No what?
Tzedakah u'mishpat.
Okay, maybe those two together. I'm talking about other things that have to be done. The Yirmiyah says there's six mitzvahs. You guys,
okay, I understand. Yeah, okay, I understand. That's not a raya.
It's a raya that perhaps that's a society-saving mitzvah that, like, okay, it's not the best thing, but maybe. At least to do something.
Maybe Torah would have been the same way. No raya.
I don't understand.
Maybe Torah would have been instead. And then you're saying that it has to be Bnei Havera that would save them. Maybe if they would have learned Torah, that also could have saved them.
But that's not what the Navi said.
Well, you can't
wait, the Navi's not saying anything, right?
I'm not saying it here. I'm talking about the...
That's what I want. Fine, but we have other places that say that Torah was enough to be able to save them. We do have that.
I have a question. I don't understand.
Wait, hold on. I'm not getting what the proof... You're trying to say that one thing would have saved them, and it's Bnei Havera. What I'm saying to you is there are other places where just learning Torah would have saved. You can't prove from one thing. We have it in Micha as well. Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, which is the very end of Micha. So if you say that by one place, then it could be that by anybody else.
But Derech Eretz Kadmon LaTorah, you can't have a situation where there's Torah.
That's not the translation of Derech Eretz Kadmon LaTorah. Again, there are six translations of Derech Eretz Kadmon LaTorah that are brought by the Rishonim.
Okay, it's been done more or less.
That could be, again, no.
You can have Torah without Ben Adam HaChavero? How's that possible?
If people learn Torah, then yes, that is the ability to eventually work on everything to be able to improve them. I'm just saying. Again, my point is not
you're
totally not understanding what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the proof is that what you're trying to say here is that Bein Adam L'Chavero would have saved them in this situation. I'm saying there is no proof to that, because as much as you want to take it out from somewhere else in Navi, I could pull something else out in Navi and say it over here. That's not an idea.
What I don't understand is how you can have Torah without Bein Adam L'Chavero, how Torah on its own could save anybody, because we know it's poison like that. It would destroy the every destroyer.
You are correct that if people are not acting Bein Adam L'Chavero and learning Torah, it is very difficult to get the good things that come from Torah. The idea would be that if a person learns Torah, he should be able to eventually improve upon all the other subjects and eventually get it back. But the impetus for that would be Torah, as opposed to the result of the Bnei Adam L'Chavero becomes Torah. It would be the impetus of the Torah would be that way.
If they were to learn Torah and use Torah against Bnei Adam L'Chavero,
that would be a problem, but that's,
but
yeah.
Could. I mean,
yeah, understood, but that's not the point. Again, the point was Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, that idea, would be something a little bit different. So again, all I'm saying is that there's no proof. I like the idea of Sodom Gomorrah, because Yeshaya does say that in the beginning of Perek Aleph. I'm just saying that's not a proof. It's not a proof that that was the issue, although it very well could be that that was the issue going on at the time. Yeah, it's a possibility.
That's
fine, yeah. But Yisrael, therefore, here's what I'm going to do to you, Bnei Yisrael. That's the law. Because I am doing all that to you, prepare to meet your maker, O Bnei Yisrael. In other words, that idea of you are going to die. You are going to die and you're all going to greet me. So get yourselves ready for that. Think of your day of death. Think of what it's going to be like and then come back to me. I'm sorry?
Doesn't he say
Yikon Mikara Kafe
Yisrael Nerv Hashanah? Doesn't mean you're going to die. It means like ready to be judged.
Right, here it means, okay, maybe it means something else as well, but yeah. Okay, Kinei Yotzer Harin Lebore Ruach Omagid La'adam Asecho, because he who creates the mountains and forms the wind, or creates the wind, he also tells a person Masecho about all the conversations he has had in his lifetime. That when a person goes up to Shemayim at the end of his life, you are going to be told over all of your siach, everything you have ever said. Osei Shachar Eifo, he makes the day break turn into darkness. V'dorech al b'masei eretz, and he crushes those that are high upon the land. Hashem elokeitz v'koshmo. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. This idea is, again, we learned already that seicho, that idea of seicho, which Chazal learned in Chagiga, refers to a person's speech and what goes through his life, what a person says during his lifetime. And in fact, the Gemara uses a riot that a person should be careful even in the privacy of his bedroom about what he says, and that's what it says, magil al b'maseicho, even then. But the point is,
his wife?
Yeah, with his wife. But the point is, it says, Dorech al-Bamasi Aretz, that crushes on those who have made themselves haughty upon the land and have put themselves on top. That's the idea of a Kodesh Baruch Hu knocking them down and saying, those people are going to be taken down completely. Now, Perek Hay is now going to be how evil certain cities were and that final judgment. So let's see what's going to happen over here. Shimu Sivarazeh, listen to this word, Asher Anokhi Nosei Aleichem Kina Beis Yisrael, that I'm going to take upon you as a lamentation for Bnei Yisrael. Nafalo Sosif Kum Besos Yisrael. They got up, but they will not be able, they will fall, I'm sorry, they will not be able to get up again, these virgins of Israel. Nitsho alad masa in kima. They are forsaken upon that land, and they will not be able to get up again. Now, Rish Lakish understood this following within a mussel, so he said the following. The king had two sons. He became very angry at the first son and beat him with a big stick. The son went into convulsions and eventually died. The father eventually, he realized what he had done and he lamented over the fact that he had just killed his son. He became angry at the second son and started beating him with the stick. The son also, this time, he died. So his father then said, I have no strength to lament anymore. Call upon other people and they should lament, because I knew what I went through the first time, and I did it anyway. I clearly didn't learn my lesson. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, listen, you have to take up this lamentation, Bnei Yisrael, because if you're not going to do it the first time, right, then the second time it's going to come and you're not going to have an ability, you're not going to have a chance to be able to do so. It's not going to be able to happen. There's another way of learning up this pasuk as well. We're learning that they fell and they won't be able to get up anymore. There's another way of reading this pasuk in which they say, Nafla lo sosif, they will no longer fall. Kum bisul Yisrael, get up bisul Yisrael. If I look through here, there's probably somebody that said, it's a Gemara that says it that way, and it's specifically said that way so that it can be said as like a very high, like, oh, there we go, Shimon Bar Yochai.
Solid.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Shimon Bar Yochai says, right, that will no longer happen. Instead, get up, Bnei Yisrael, everything will happen. And that's a reference to how good Bnei Yisrael will be. At the very end, they'll be able to rise by their own. That Nafla Lo Sosif, no longer will they fall. They'll be able to get up on their own. They'll be able to do it on their own. That's the line he says. Kikom Hashem Elohim, Ha'ira Yotzeit Elef Tasher Meah. A city that used to have 1,000 people that went forth. In other words, every city that used to give forth 1,000 men to go to war, now no longer give up 1,000 to go to war, would only give up 100. That means that the amount of people in the city obviously lessened to such an extent. The city that would have 100 people going out to war would now only have 10 people going out to war, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The people are going to rot, the people are going to become less strong, the people are not going to be able to go to war anymore. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bnei Yisrael, seek me and live. What's the idea of seek me and live? This is not mentioned. This is interesting. This is not mentioned in Akamar and Makos and Chaf Gimel and Beis, but it's a very similar line where Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Bnei Yisrael, that's all you need to do. This, by the way, would be against the idea of Bein Avim L'Chavero. This sounds like Bein Avim L'Mako. Search me out and then you will live. If you figure out who I am. Now, obviously, with that comes Bein Avim L'Chavero eventually. Obviously, it doesn't mean that just serve me and then don't worry about your fellow man and everything's going to work out work as well. It seems that, no, If you look at me and work me out, seek me out, then you would live. Although you could say that that refers to both, at least.
Right. Common denominator.
Yeah. So at least everything. Oh, no. I think the Pasha Chuck is your Shuni?
No, you're, I'm talking about in this case, but if you line up...
Oh, in normal. Okay, maybe.
The least common denominator has always been Adam Lachaver. You can't have just Adam Lachaver and nothing else.
Yeah,
when did you ever see that?
I'm solicited. I don't know.
You never see that.
I don't know.
Keep kosher, and then, you know, don't worry about anything else.
We did see that.
Where?
We did see that. We saw that. He said, do this mitzvah, then do this mitzvah, then do this mitzvah. It was specific.
There were six mitzvahs in Yirmiyah, or Yeshayahu, or Yirmiyah, or Yeshayahu.
I don't remember.
And among them, though, was like...
No, they were all mitzvahs. That was the whole point. That was strange. It's funny. All right, but either way, this seems to say that way. Valtidushu Beis El and Gilgal. Do not go to Beis El and Gilgal. Don't go to those cities. Lo Savohu. O Be'er Sheva Lo Savohu. Don't go into Be'er Sheva. Gilgal Galu Yigla, because Gilgal is going to be exiled to Beis El Yelo Oven, and Beis El is going to be destroyed completely. Right? That's the idea of what's going to do. Dear Shuas Hashem Dechiyu, search out a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You will live that way. Otherwise, there will be a fire that breaks out around the house of Yosef. It'll consume it completely. The Ein Mechabel of Beis El, it will not be extinguished when it gets to Beis El. It's going to destroy them completely. It's going to be bad. Ha'hopchim l'ndlana mishpats, because they turned to wormwood all of the mishpats. Utztakla aritzinichu, and because they cast their righteousness to the ground. Because of the evil they did, Beinam l'chavero. Obviously, because of what they did over here, that clearly was getting them down, and that was turning them down completely. Okay, that's the idea. Ose kimo ksil, he who made Kima and Ksil. So, help me with the pronunciation here. Pleiades? That's what it is, right? I think it is. And Orion. Those were the two constellations in the sky, not the Mazolos, but the constellations. The Hofik Laboker Salmavis, and turns the shadow of death into morning. This is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yom Laila Hashif, and the day, right, darken into night. HaKori L'Me'ayam, the one who calls out to the waters of the sea, V'Yishpachem up in the arts, and pours them onto the land, Hashem Shmo, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one who destroys, the one who allows to live, the one who allows the constellations to be. It's interesting, by the way. Kima and Ksil are the two constellations that were used somehow, according to Gemara Rosh Hashanah, in order to bring the Mabul upon the earth. Chazal say that somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed stars from Kima Uksil. We don't know what that means. And allowed the water to come through there to fall down onto the earth. Whatever that means. So those were the two dimensions. So it's interesting in saying over here that's calling into the Yam. HaMavlig Shod Al-Oz, he who throws destruction even upon the strong, the Shod Al-Mitzor Yavo, this destruction that comes upon those that are fortified, and it's all there. Sanu Vashar, right? Those who are hated in the gate, Mochiach, they are reproved and then given Musr. The Dover Tamim Yisaevu, and those who speak with Tamim, the perfections, whatever, Yisaevu, they detest them. Now that makes the people that were at the gate were judges. Remember, that's how Lot, he was sitting at the gate, and Chazal Darshan from there, that he'd become a judge that day in Sodom, right? That's how they wound up, that the people at the gate, they're called Yosh. They shar, these people of Sanhedrin, the people that stood at the gate. So the people at the gate, when they were giving muster and telling them what to do and what not to do, they hated them. The speaker who spoke out perfect words, the people that were like that.
We've had that in other places too.
Yeah, shar.
That's where wise men were. That's Asia's pile, no?
No, there's a line behind that. Sits by the gate, Yoshin Bashar, you're right. Is that the Pshat? Right there, right behind you. Yeah. I don't know. We have. What's the concept, though? That's what we're trying to translate. We're trying to figure that out.
That's where they did the judgment. Like, that's where they learned Torah, and that's where they, like...
It's a good call. I don't know.
By the gate.
Yeah, but why specifically by the gate? Is that because there was? I guess maybe that was the public area.
In and out.
Yeah, that's what, that makes sense. That's where people used to get judged. I would assume that's that. You'd out. Therefore, because you trampled Aldol upon the poor people. That word, Boshaskam, is a weird word, isn't it? Boshaskam? Like, what's the word based on? Boshas?
Yeah.
With a samach, right? What do you got over here? Kimo bosaschem. So bosis is to trample, like a buses. That's interesting. Aldol umma. It's interesting as boshas. Okay. Anyway, umasas bar tiku. Okay. You trampled upon the poor. You took from them a thing of grain. Mimenu b'tigazis beneath them. You made hewn stones. That's guzis. You know, gvil and guzis. That's in the beginning of Bava Asra. You built up a loseishu bum, but you won't live there. In other words, you build these huge houses that you won't even live in, right? Because you just want to have more and more. Karmi chabinetatam. You plant these beautiful vineyards, loseishu zanim. You don't even want to drink their wine. You're not even there to drink their wine. You just make them to be somebody beautiful. In other words, you're indulging in luxuries that you don't even need while trampling on the poor people. Ki adatu rabim pishechem. I know how mighty your pishayim are. Batsum chafasechem your chatos as well. Sorei tzadik lochei kofer. You are the enemies of tzadikim. You take some type of kofer, right? I guess ransoms, I guess. That's yonim bashar hitu. And the poor people at the gate, and again, this is referring to judges, at the gate, they turn them around and say, no, get around here. Get out of our city. We don't want you here whatsoever. Lachem. Therefore, at such a time, a wise man, Yidom, will be silent. Case Rahi. It is an evil time. He knows he's not going to be listened to. He knows that nothing is going to work. He sees the evil of the people. That guy is going to be silent when he goes through. He's worried. There's a famous story, right, where the rabbi went to that guy's house and he just sat there at the guy's house for like an hour. And afterward, he just got up and left. And the guy was not a chassid of this rabbi, and he like followed him home, but he didn't say a thing. And he said, Rabbi, why didn't you tell me anything? Why didn't you say anything while you're at my house? And the rabbi said, I did a mitzvah. He said, what mitzvah? He said, there's a mitzvah not to give mussar to someone who won't listen. So I did a mitzvah. So he said, Rabbi, maybe I'll listen. He said, you won't listen, and therefore I have to do this mitzvah. He said, maybe I'll listen. He's like, I can't tell you, otherwise I'll miss out on the mitzvah. He said, please, Rabbi. So he told him, all right, you're in charge of a bank. There's a lady who lost her house to the bank, right? So I thought that maybe you could help her, right? Give her house for an extra month or two until she can find another place to live, because otherwise they confiscated her house. Right? You know nothing about that, right? So the guy said, Rabbi, what do you want me to do? I don't own the bank. I just work for the bank. He said, I know. That's why I couldn't say anything. So the next day, the Rebbe said, now you made me lose out on the mitzvah, and he didn't even do it, so my mussar didn't even work, so now I'm upset. Next day, the guy came to him and said, I took care of it. The woman has the house for the next 2 months. Obviously, he could do something. Just is claiming that he couldn't. The Rebbe did it. So I don't know if it was pure reverse psychology or if he actually meant to do it, but I think it was a cool move in the other. Hey, neither one. Either way. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Lachin Hamasko Ba'ithi Yidon Kies Rahi. Okay, so that's Yud Gimel. Yud Dalet. Dear Shuto, look out for good, Ba'al Ra, not doing evil. That way you'll live. Then a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to be with you as you have just spoken. That way it's all going to be good. So that's the idea. Do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. Look at the good that's there. Sinura, hate evil. Ebu Tov, and love doing good. And allow Mishpat to be at the gate. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will favor the remnants of Yosef and give them a little bit of chain, even though they don't deserve it whatsoever. So here's an analogy. A man wanted to go to a certain city where there was going to be a fair there. He said, how much is it going to cost me? He inquired of a certain wagon driver. How much does it cost me to get to that fair? Said the driver, 50 coins. He said, that's a crazy high price, the guy said. Right, so the driver answered, to reach the fair, I'm going to have to go through a lot of large and small towns. I'm going to have to pay for food. I'm going to have to pay for expenses. I'm going to have to do other things. In the end, I'm going to end up with nothing. So even though in theory, it should only take you, it should be $10 to be able to go through, but for me to get from that place to the other is going to be 50. So why not drive straight through to the fair, he said. Right, so he said, it's impossible. I got to go through those cities and towns. In order to administer justice properly, he says, you have to be able to love good yourself and hate evil. Otherwise, you have no idea what the process is. You have to go through those towns, so to speak, in order to get there. As a side note, when I was in the old city, right before I left, I had not yet been to the Kotel. It's crazy. When I was in Arts Yisrael last week, I had not yet been to the Kotel. I've been to the old city 5 times, and I had not yet been able to go to the Kotel because I was just running from place to place. So finally, I said, all right, I'm just going to the Kotel. I'm gonna go there. So I took a cab from my buddy's Zadie's house, and I went there. And on my way back, I grabbed the cab on the way out, right? So I said to the cab as I was on my way, I was right by Shar Ashbot, and I said, how much? I was going to Baca. So I don't know if you guys know where Baca is, but Baca is literally like a 5-minute drive, right? And the guy said, 50 shekel. So I said, that's a rip-off. I said, it's a rip-off. No way I'm paying you 50 shekel. He He said, no, you don't understand. There's a lot of pekakim right now, a lot of traffic, right? So if I go through right now, it's going to take me a long time to go. If I put it on the Monet, it's going to be more than 50 shekel. I said, no, it won't. Put it on the Monet. It was 24 and a half shekel. It was funny because also the guy was going to make a right out of the old city instead of a left to go through Ir David instead, go all the way around. I'm like, dude, make a left. He's like, oh.
Make a left.
Clearly, you know, like when you go out, when you go out of Shartzion, right? So you go out of Shartzion, you make a left. The guy was classic. But then Kol Hashem Lekitzokos, Rei Hashem, he might not have been Jewish, so let's hope that he's Arab. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'chol Rechobus Mispeid, in all the streets there's going to be a spade, and B'chol Chutzos Yom. By the way, as a side note, I want to point this out. I said this to somebody earlier this week. A eulogy, which is usually how they translate Hespade, eulogy is not really necessarily the correct word. The real word in English is elegy, because elegy refers to somebody who dies and you're saying over something for him. A eulogy is something that you say good about anybody, whether he's alive or dead. So the word that they use for misfade, which is really a hasped, a eulogy in the streets, is really not the right word for it. It's elegies that go through. And in all the streets, they call it ho, ho, right? Obviously, this is the season for that. The Karui Koral Abel, and the farmers call out to those who are mourning, umisfidel yodinehi, and they call out all the people who are skilled in being able to do this. They call out to all the people to be able to lament all together. The whole crumb misfade throughout all the vineyards is going to be lamented. Ki ever the kirbekom Hashem, because I'm going to pass through, I'm going to show you all the terrible things that's going to happen. Hoy hamisavim el yom Hashem. Woe to those who desire the day of God. In other words, those who are saying, oh, I can't wait till the ultimate day of judgment is there. The people are saying, oh, I'm going to be found innocent in the day of judgment. Woe to those people who desire that day to come. Lama zelecham yom Hashem. Why do you want that day of Hashem? Uchoshech blo or. There's going to be tremendous darkness on that day and not light. You're going to see how much you did. Yeah.
Why does Rambam in general, why do we have this like
desire for Mashiach?
Yeah.
The line of the Gemara, Yesei Veloachmine, let him come, but don't let me see it, was said by four different Amoraim. And yet Rav Nachman comes along and says, let him come, and I want to sit in the dung of his donkey. That no matter how bad it's going to be for us, because we obviously did not live up to the expectations that maybe we had for us in the beginning, nonetheless, I still want to sit in the dung of the donkey. And that's how we pass him. That we have that Achishena, that Achakilo, that we have for Mashiach, even though we know it's going to be very, very scary for us. It's the light of behind the crazy little thing. All right, I mean, whatever. The famous mussel that's given by the Gemara is the rooster and the bat, right? That the rooster and the bat were looking forward to the light of the day. So the rooster said to the bat, I know that I'm looking forward to the day, but for you, day is not good. Why would you want to look forward to the day? So the bat says, because I get to sleep. I can sleep the whole time, but the bat doesn't realize that it's bad for him to be in the light. And that's why he has to sleep. So that's not going to be easy for him to go. When you see a man running away from a lion, and then all of a sudden he meets up with a bear. He comes to a house, he puts his hand on the wall of the house, like, oh gosh, I was able to get away from the bear. And then the snake bites him, and he dies from a snake bite. That's what happens to this guy. He's running away from one trouble to the next, and look what comes up to him next. When the lion Nebuchadnezzar goes away, all of a sudden the bear, Achashverosh, comes up, and you have Haman, and you have Gullus Paras and Madai. Now what the Nachash refers to is either referring to Edom, or it's referring to Yavon, whatever you want to call it. But every exile leads to the next thing, and it just becomes more and more destruction. I believe the snake is referring to, the snake is Titus, that's Edom, more than anything else. Halo Choshech Yom Hashem, it's darkness that day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it's not going to be light on that day, but up below no. You're not going to see the brightness. We're not going to be zochah to that brightness, that redemption. So Nasi, I hate, Moasti, I despise Chagechem, all of your festivals, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu to me. So you hear that language? Crazy language. I despise your Chagim. I don't want to even smell your Atzeres, your assemblies, when people get together on Shemini Atzeres, or Atzeres, which is Shavuot. I don't even want to smell it anymore. I can't stand it. You sit up there and you think your korbanos are enough. I can't even stand it. You bring me your olos and your minchas, I don't want it. The shelem miriyechem, the complete fattened bulls that you're giving me, lo api, I'm not even going to look forward to. Get rid of all the sounds of your songs. I don't want to hear the sounds, the melodies that are coming from your navel, the flutes or guitars or whatever they are. Meaning, not navel in that way, but navel, navel v'chinor. or naval vachino, or the, you know, the types of whatever it is. The yigal kamayim mishpat utzdaka. I want the like water, mishpat and tzedaka, to be there like water, kinakalei sun, like the mighty streams to go through where everything is going to go all the way through. And obviously, referring to the righteousness, we want tzidkus to go all the way through. That's what I want to stream for. Not the songs of Levim singing their songs to me. I want people to act in a better way. For 40 years in the desert, did you bring me any korbanos? We learn from here that Bnei Yisrael didn't bring korbanos during the 39 years in the desert. First year, they brought the korban pasach. The 40th year, they brought the korban pasach. Between those times, they may never have brought the korban pasach.
I've heard a good answer to why Moshe is there. It's not like, and he ruled with an iron, you know, he's not everybody got it.
A limitation. It's not because they were bad.
No, I know.
They weren't commanded to, so to speak.
Well, where do we see that, then?
We don't. I don't think. I'm trying to think, because I think there is a diak somewhere. I mean, there is a diak where it says. There's a wording in Baloska. It says they kept it on that day. The Moado. They did the Korban Pesach B'Moado, and there's a diak in the Medrash that it says on that day they did it, and they didn't do it any other time. I think that's where it comes from. I don't remember. I think it's simply put because they have limited supplies.
What did they do with the Mishkan? Did they have a
Midrash? Didn't reproduce like reproduced.
I don't think as much. I don't know. I definitely in the Midbar wasn't as much. There's no question it could. Limitations. No, I can't find it right now. What did they do with the Mishkan? With what? Oh, because
they had the Mishkan. Right?
That's the same for 40 years. They had the Mishkan, but they did not bring those korbanos. They didn't bring it during that time.
What were they?
The korban pesach they did not bring for those years. Oh, here we go. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael sapasach b'moado. That's what they did. They brought it in that time, and it was only that time they say.
They weren't carrying the Mishkan around for nothing.
No, the Mishkan was brought. Mishkan was brought for the Ketores, the menorah, and for them to gather. If they needed something, and also for the that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe through the Kruvim. That also happened through there. I guess they used it once in a while. No, I guess they used it once in a while. I don't know if they used it.
They used it for the regular community. It's one trip for a day.
Wild that they didn't use it every day.
I remember it. We learn it from here. It's Vachim U Mincha Yigashim Liba Midbar. Did you bring me that around here? Oh, it is a machlokes among the Chazal. Rabbi Eliezer says
to something else.
Right, Rabbi Eliezer says that it refers to the Ola being explained in Har Sinai, but it was not brought then. Rabbi Kiva says there was Olas there, but it was never discontinued afterwards. Rabbi Kiva says that it did not. They kept doing it even afterward completely. And that's that. It's just that if they did evil. Oh, and there we go. This is the pasuk. Let the children of Israel keep the Pesach in its due season. It was condemnation that was the only time that they ever brought it. And they never brought it any other time. So it is machlokes tanoim. So we'd have to go into tanoim.
Why did he condemn for that? Moshe didn't tell him, like, guys, it's paper. Why aren't you bringing the Korban
Pesach? It's clearly not the pshat in the pasuk. Because the pshat in the pasuk is they should bring it this time.
Right.
That is that. I don't know. It seems weird because this is not the problem over here. The whole point of this pasuk is to say, I don't need your korbanos. You see that you survived in the Midbar for 40 years without bringing korbanos. I mean, he's just saying, I hate your korbanos. I hate what you're doing. I can't stand it. Don't you see? For 40 years in the desert, you didn't bring this to me, and it wasn't a problem. Like, that seems to be the clear indication of the pasuk. It's not that he's condemning Bnei Yisrael for not doing it.
Now that they weren't doing it in the Midbar.
Meaning at this time?
Yeah.
They were bringing korbanos without meaning it, without caring. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, I don't care about that. That's not what I want. I don't want these false korbanos that don't have to be that way.
Somebody had to bring a korban chatas, and it was just kind of like, all right, I paid my sin tax. Now I can go back and do whatever I want.
Ibn Ezra, by the way, says it. Ibn Ezra says that they only brought the Korban Talmud for 50 days, 50 days.
Right,
yeah, and not any other day.
So it's
Shavuos, yeah, that would be Shavuos. And that would have been the last time. Meaning the Arin bringing those Korbanos, the Olos that they brought up on that day, would have been the last time that they brought it.
I don't know the business, but maybe the Torah didn't become completely binding in its full form until Moshe died.
That's possible because there were certain ideas. There's no question there were certain mitzvos that they didn't even have. Did they have still in the Midbar? That's always the kash that people ask. Shalos, the Chuvas, Minim. Shamayim is the famous Shiloh where they ask, what tefillin did Moshe going to bring down from Har Sinai? What was the order of the Parshios? But I'm saying, did they have tefillin in the midbar that they used? Some will say to you, certainly they did. I remember seeing this question, the Torah Shlema brings down like six shittos where he's shown him that they did not have tefillin in the midbar.
We say that,
that they did not have tefillin and it was brought afterwards.
Else?
Yeah, that could be also. It could be those illusions.
Why would we assume that they wouldn't?
Because simply put, it doesn't. Simply put, the mitzvah wouldn't have been given, or the mitzvah of tefillin was not given until later on. It wasn't given until some point later on. Let's see, where would have been the first mention of tefillin? Was it Vaschanan? Where would have been the first mention?
Oh no,
Shman Vaschanan, and why? That's not.
It's the part before of. It's one of the.
Oh, it does mention tefillin right there. That's right. Did it say for them to put it on? Maybe they didn't know what it was. Bo. It was the end of Bo. The end of Parshas Bo, the very end of over there. I forgot. I'd have to look it up. I remember seeing a whole piece on it, of what they did and what they didn't do. Maybe it was Rav Hirsch who spoke about the whole machlokas. They had it during the midbar. But it was an interesting machlokas. That's an interesting call. Did they have it during those 40 years? So maybe they weren't chayiv in it whatsoever. Could have been a Beis Ol Deshamay thing. You know what Deshamay said.
So they were saying, like, once Beis Din decided, okay, now it's time to do Tefillin, desire to do over these boxes, and it's going to be...
Correct. And it wouldn't have been Beis Din. It would have been Yoshua, who still was technically enough. It would have been the Nevi'im at the time, who described it for them, who was around. You're right, it could have been the Zakanim that were there, because it's Torah, Lo Mishamayim. You'd assume that Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to everybody beforehand, though, and they already knew the laws, even though they hadn't done it in practice until they got to Eretz Yisrael.
What did they... What did they do every Yom Kippur?
I don't think Yom Kippur at all resembled our Yom Kippur of today.
No, not today.
There's kashas. It says V'nisan is not Shoseicham in Yom Kippur. What happened to Sir La'Zelzo, and what did they do with the Parshat Ramos? I don't know what they did in the midboard. Did they do that, or did they not? But it was kept for when they went to Eretz Yisrael. Now, listen, I have no issue with those that say that the mitzvahs all applied in every which way. And I'm sure there were certain mitzvahs that they had to keep, meaning the month, and Shabbos was clear. He commanded them that they had to keep Shabbos. There were certain things that they had to do that were already commandments. Perhaps there were other mitzvahs that were different. I don't know. I have no idea. But there are, I know this is a machlokas tanoim. Tefillin was the famous one. That's the one that's famous, of whether it's machlokas tanoim. When it's Sustim and Sukkos Malkechem, and Pasuk Chav Vav over here, you're going to carry Sukkos, your king. Now, what does that refer to over here? Sikkos Malkechem, I see. This Kiyun Salmechem, Kokav Aleichem Asher Asisi Lachem. So you're going to take, apparently these are names of different gods, Sikus and Kiyun, right? That these are like images that Ne'eh, you guys are using these constellations that are there. Is there anybody that translates the word Sikus or Kiyun in a different way? Do you see it over there?
Shemos of Buddha Zarahim.
That's what, yeah, okay. So that makes sense. That's what it refers to. There be Glacius Chamehol in Damascus. I'm going to now exile you to Damascus. Amashon locates Vokoshimo. That makes sense.
It was like a little handheld.
Right, it's disgusting.
Where is it?
They had that Mitzrayim. That's what they used to have. It's crazy, the little guys.
And our kid was like in our casualty, and we found this little statue.
Figurine.
Where?
What?
Where?
Near Beit Shemesh. Amazing. That's the Gemara. I'm getting. Where Eliyahu Navi went up to the kid, and he said, "Just say Shema Yisrael," and the kid said, "Oh, ha." Silence. My father told me never to say that word, Hashem. And he took out the little image out of his pocket, kissed it, and died of hunger. That's what it says in the Gemara in Gittin, Beth Nun Zainim of Iz. Unbelievable little Gemara. Okay. Tarek Bov. The wealthy are going to be exiled over here. That'd be awesome. The wealthy are going to be exiled first. Everyone will die because they didn't daven. And then we're going to go into the Seder Olam changing the way that the world went. Okay, so here we go. This is going to be what's going to happen over here. So, Hoi Hashanana B'tzion, woe to those who are serene in Zion. Habotzkin Bahar Shomron, those who are secure and confident in the mountains of Shomron. Nikuve Reishis, right? The people that are the first of the nation, Agayim Obolahem Beis Yisrael, they come to the house of Bnei Yisrael. These people ended up inheriting these lands and end up being, these are the people who are, everything's good for them right now. Like, they're living in these huge mansions, these palaces, they have tons of servants, and everything's good for them. They can't imagine anything's going to be bad. Even if something happens that's bad, they say, like, listen, we'll pay off everybody. You will end up keeping whatever we have. Ibru Kalnei, Ru'u L'chumisham. So you're going to pass over to Kalnei, which is a certain city, to Babel. You're going to pass over to there. You're going to see and go from there, Hamas Rabbah. You're going to see this great anger with you, Gaza Plishtim. You're going to see down to the Gaza Plishtim. Have Tobin Minam Amlachos Ailim Rab Gbulam Migbulam Migbulchem. Do you think your border is any better than them? Go check out those areas over there. You see that even the most tranquil and sick, the quiet of societies still can be destroyed completely, that things are going to happen there. Hamenadim Liyom Ra. They push off, they ward off the bad day, the evil day that's going to be Vatagish and Shepas Hamas, and they cause violence to come as close as they possibly can. So that's the idea behind it. So that's the point behind it. So there is an interpretation, says the Mialois, that says like this. It's like a youngster who refuses to study, refuses to learn anything. So what does he do? He eats unripe fruit until his belly aches, and so he stays away from study. You know what I'm saying? The guy makes himself sick so he doesn't have to go to school anymore. Right? It's terrible. Right? That's the idea. You're causing your own violence to come near. You're indulging in your own evils to make the evil come as near as you can. Ashokval mitos shame. These people sleep on marble beds. Usruchim al arsosam. Literally, the word is you stretch yourselves upon their beds, but unfortunately, this also refers to srua, which means smelly. They take the zera of others onto their own beds. The women sleep with other men, and the men sleep with other women on their own beds. The Oakland karmitzon va'agolamitok marbeik. They eat fattened sheep, and they take the best calves out of the stall. Haportim al-pianovel, they hum by the flute. In other words, you just think of them. They sit there, and they play music all day long for themselves. Kidavid koshvu. They think they're like David HaMelech, Klei Shir, with all their musical instruments, thinking they're as great as David HaMelech and how they did. They say to themselves, well, didn't David play the lute? Didn't he play the lyre? So I'm doing the same thing. I'm also doing this. But they're doing it in a different way. David HaMelech was doing it in order to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to gain songs like Tehillim, to get himself close to Hashem. These people are doing it to indulge in their own fantasies and to do their own thing in Taiva. Hashosim Mizrei Yayin, they drink wine out of bowls, not just cups, but bowls. The Rashis Shmanim Yimshachu, and they anoint themselves with the best of oils. V'lo Nechlu Al Shever Yosef. They're not grieved over the fact that Yosef is destroyed. They sit there and they're like, oy, oy vey, I heard that Yosef's having such bad problems. And then they drink the rest of their wine and they eat the rest of their chocolate. They don't stop themselves. I'm not comparing. I'm obviously not comparing whatsoever. But nonetheless, it seems to me we don't feel the pain of our own brothers in Eretz Yisrael, where we say, like, we sit there at the dinner table and we're eating our meat and chicken and everything, and we drink our drinks and everything, and we say, like, having such a hard time in Eretz Yisrael, right, with all the different, with the terrorist attacks and everything. We tisk tisk, and then we continue eating as if nothing's wrong. Again, I don't know if we're on the level to do such things and to really feel the pain, to be empathetic toward what's happening in Eretz Yisrael without being there. Nonetheless, I'm saying, if we don't take anything away, then how are we truly supposed to feel the pain that they're in? I will tell you. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I was going, you know the tunnel that's right outside the Old City, right by the Dan Pearl? There's that little tunnel that goes right outside, so you go under if you want to drive like around and get to Harash boat. So I went under this tunnel itself, and when I was coming out, I heard like pop, 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 pop. So six cars in front of me, all six cars stopped, and everybody in the cars was like an Israeli something or other, pulled out their guns and ran back into the tunnel. They thought it was gunshots. Now, I don't know, because I jumped out of my car, right, and I was like, what's going on? It's like I'm yelling in Hebrew, like, what's going on? Right, yeah. So I said, like, what's going on? And everybody's like, get down in your car. And I'm just like, okay. So I sat in my car. Apparently, there was nothing that happened, right? Apparently, because it didn't make the news, and it might have been something. It was a weird sound. It definitely was a weird sound, but I don't know. I don't really know what gunshots sound like in a tunnel. So I have no idea what it sounded like. They thought it was. Yeah, it could have been anything.
In Jifara, I was on a bus in Israel, and a girl had a bunch of balloons, and one of them popped.
And all of a sudden,
oh my, people were like,
yeah. Well, I had my thought, like the way I sat there in my car, I was just like, oh my gosh, I was going crazy. Like inside, I was like, I'm, this is unbelievable. I was almost ready to cry. It was actually scary. So for that one second, I felt what it must be like to be in these types of situations. I don't know if I'm ever going to get it back. You know, it's hard for me to cry, but like nonetheless, it was something that right there, you felt it. And that's part of the issue over here. Therefore, these rich people that don't care about anybody else, they're going to be the head of the exiles. Sor Mizrach Tzulchem. They're the ones that are going to pass away immediately. They're the ones that are going to die the first more than anybody else. Nishvashem Elokim Menashe. By God swears by himself. Numashem Elokim Tzulchos. Misa Evanochi is going Yaakov. I despise this pride of Jacob. Aminosef Sani. I despise. I hate his palaces. Vizgarti Yerim Elohah. Therefore, I will deliver. I will give into the hands of the enemy the city and everything inside it. That's what I'm not in the mood for. If there's 10 people that are remaining in one house, all of them will die, no matter what. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I don't care how many people are going to be left inside that house. Everybody's going to die by the devil. Everybody's going to die by the enemy. Something's going to happen. All these people are going to die. And so dodo, if an uncle is left, or misorfo, and one's friend, lahotzi atzamin abayis, who is there to be able to take the bones out of the house, v'amar l'asher b'yarkzi abayis, ha'odimach, he's going to call out to the people who are in the rest of the house. They're going to say, is there anybody else with you? V'amar office. They're going to say, no. Then they're going to say, no, we don't want to mention any name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, they want to say, take away everything from me so that there's nothing left and I don't remind myself of HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever. They're going to see the dead fall and blame it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not on themselves at all. And they're going to say, it's all God's fault. And when they say, oi, should we help you any further? They're going to be like, do you believe in God? Yeah? Then no, I don't want you anywhere near my house. Get out of here. I don't want anybody who believes in God to be anywhere near me, because God is evil and God does only bad things altogether. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding this. The great house will be destroyed, meaning the great houses of riches, right? Receives him into pieces, and even the little house will be made into little chips. Can horses run upon the rocks? And Yachrosh Babakaran, can one plow, right, with the cattle in these areas? Because all this justice has been turned into nothing, and your tzedakah, everything has been turned into wormwood, obviously because you did the wrong thing altogether. The line over here is he's saying, right, you turned over everything. There's no way that a person is going to be able to turn around, right, that an axe is going to plow into the rock, that a horse is going to be able to run onto random, mountainous terrain. You want to go on mountainous terrain, you can't use a horse. You want to plow the rocks, you're not going to be able to do anything. That's what you're trying to do, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going about everything in the wrong way. You're rejoicing about things that you should not be rejoicing over. That you say that we have strength to us and we have our own horns, that we'll be able to have our own strength and do whatever we need to do. You're wrong, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. You're wrong, and you're going to die by that belief. Because I am raising up against you a nation, a true nation. They're going to oppress you. They're going to harass you all the way from Levo Chamas, that's all the way up north, until Nachal Araba, the river Araba. Do you know what Nachal Araba is? As a side note? It's there? There is a place called Nachal Araba? Northeast. Oh, wait. Northeast is Levo Chamas.
It's Jordan and Israel on the border.
Well, that's interesting. It says we're here. It's in the Egyptian Wadi in the southwest region of the land of Israel. I said, does it go straight? Nachal Araba. Huh. That's what it says over there. That's interesting that it quotes it that way. How long is Zion? Maybe we'll be able to do it. We only have 5 minutes altogether. Well, Perek Zion is going to be, there are going to be three visions, but two of them are going to be able to be stopped. There's three visions that Amos is going to have over here. He's going to be able to stop two of them. Yerubim is going to die. Amatzia is going to try to get involved. We're going to see that he shouldn't have gotten involved whatsoever. All right, we'll stop this for right now.